talk today, not really long, but briefly, and yes, that's probably very true. In the times past, they used to say that, but it wasn't real. But this is real this time. Everybody say, perpetual newness. Perpetual newness. This is what the Lord put on my heart. Perpetual newness. God makes all things new. Aren't you glad of that? How many of you really appreciate the fact that you were one way and it wasn't that good, and Jesus got in the mix, and then you start improving? I'm writing a whole book, Freedom Starter Kit, and it's about removing inner obstacles that hinder your destiny in Christ. How many have had inner obstacles? Bitterness can be one, right? Demons can be involved. Ungrieved losses, a lot of unforgiveness, just all kinds of things can be a problem in the human soul. And get rid of it. I have a prayer I want us to pray. This next slide. If you look at that for a minute. Tell you what, can we just declare a little? Can you read it? Is it readable? I can pray it for us, but let's all pray together. Say, Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to redeem us and bring us back into an eternal relationship with you. We are undeserving of your love that you lavish so freely upon us. We open our hearts to you this season to receive your perpetual newness of life in Christ Jesus. Oh, how we need you in every way. So we lift our hearts and voices to continually give you thanks. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So there's an old praise course, you know it, that carries a lot of deep meaning. It says, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. This is important. Jesus, after he'd risen from the dead, he came to the disciples, and in Luke chapter 24:45-49, it says this, then he opened their understanding. Their understanding wasn't opened. Jesus did something. How many of you have had him open your understanding? He opened their understanding, and then what happened? They might understand the scriptures. How many of you have read stuff and you don't get it, and then one day you read it and you go, I got it. He opened your understanding. The Holy Spirit gave you revelation of what his heart is for you in the scripture. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. See, they didn't know that. They just knew this great crisis had happened. But now he's opening the scriptures to see that this was all planned. To rise from the dead the third day, and that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And they realize, aha, we are. And behold, I'll send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So he gives them, but he opens their hearts. He opens their hearts. Years later, Paul is preaching, and in Acts 16, it says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Now, he's down in the Thyatira area, Philippi area. It says she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. I think it's important to say that she was a worshiper. She was looking, seeking him. And then look at there. This is so beautiful. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. The Lord did it. The Lord saw, here's a worshiper, here's someone seeking me, I'm going to open their heart. And then when she and her whole household there were baptized, she begged us, Paul, Luke is saying in Acts, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And so she persuaded us. So they went to her home. The Lord had opened her heart. Why is the opening of our eyes of understanding so important? So 2 Corinthians, the next slide. If our gospel be hid, this is the King James Version, if it's hid or veiled, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Praying for the veil to be lifted is so... I remember when Heather and I were going to the church on the way there under Pastor Jack, and there was a, a man that, you know, he asked me some questions about the gospel. I did my best to explain it to him. He wanted to know. And get this, he gets to the end, he could actually repeat back what I said. And then he goes like this, "I don't get it. Why didn't God just do it another way?" That was over his eyes. He couldn't see. That was a shock to me because he seemed like he had a grasp, but he had a grasp up here, but he didn't have it down here. His eyes were closed. His heart was shut off to of the love that God had for him. And there are treasures in Christ that we must desire. Next slide. That to ask for. And so Paul prays this prayer in Ephesians 1, 17, and 18. How many of you know this one? Let's go ahead and read this together. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling." And the word enlightened there is where we get the word this photos. It's where you know the idea of a camera. When you click a camera, it's one little split second where light enters. How many of you have had moments where the barely split second suddenly you know something, but the Holy Spirit goes, "Oh, there you," and you just know it. The eyes of your understanding, the light came in, the photo, the little. He went click. You got it. I got it. Sometimes you have time. Sometimes you may have a where the Lord gives you a bit more extended understanding. But many, many times it's just a little moment where you just know. He just clicks the picture. And this even goes a little further. In Luke 10:22, Jesus is. This is both in Matthew and to this exact verse. Jesus is saying this. He says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." So now Jesus explained, everything that I have, the Father's handed over to me, and no one knows the Son, who the Son is except the Father. So we really didn't know Him until revelation came to us. Well, look at this. "Or who the Father is except the Son." And then this little phrase here, "And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him." I had massive brokenness in the realm of my earthly father through physical abuse as a child. It wasn't a lot. It was just a main one pretty bad thing, and it broke me. So I had an askewed picture of who Father God was. It was really bad. In fact, I couldn't even see it in the Bible. I would see the Father of the God of the Father of all, like the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies and stuff. It was just a blur. I didn't really see. I didn't even see it. I just whenever Jesus popped up, I could see that. I believe there are people like that because of what happened in their earthly realm with their fathers or some authority figure, they've projected all of that up on God, and then He gets, you know, He's blamed for all of that, and He's perfect, you know, and He didn't do it, you know. And so I had this moment where it was a series of events, and I won't get long into the story, but the point is, Jesus chose to reveal, it says, the Father to me. He made the choice, "I'm going to reveal the Father to you." Oh my gosh. And Shelley, you remember that series. Can I tell your testimony? Gosh, what a cry. This is how beautiful Father God is. So Shelley's sitting over here, right? And I'm telling this, I'm showing how Jesus is only revealing, he's carrying the love of the Father into the earth. It's not Jesus' love. He says, "I don't do anything except if you see the Father do it. I don't say anything except to hear the Father say it." He's the only person in the whole history of the world that lives completely for the will of another person, entirely. And so He's expressing the heart of the Father the whole time. And the Lord's trying to show me this. And so, like many of us, Shelley's heart was closed. Closed to the Father. Closed because of abuses. Closed because of molestations. Closed because of hurts. Closed because of whatever. And she's sitting over here, and she decides that the revelation, Jesus chose to say, I'm going to show you who my daddy is and who your daddy is. And she opened her heart. Isn't that amazing? Now, here's the thing. She started having several months go by where in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit would come and pour the love of the Father into her at nighttime. And after this had been going, she would cry and she'd just feel the love of this wonderful Father coming and caring for her at night. And then it dawned on her, He's coming at the same time that my earthly father came to molest me. He said, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to come and take that moment. Every time that happened, I'm going to come and I'm going to love you to wholeness. This is Jesus choosing to say, I'm going to show you who he is. I'm going to reveal to you who he is. Let's just praise the Lord for a minute. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The next verse we have, Jeremiah 33:3 in the Amplified Version. So everybody speak really loud. That's an old joke, but it's funny. Okay, not really funny today. Let's read this out loud. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you and even show you great and mighty things, things which have been confined and hidden, which you do not know and understand and cannot distinguish. If you call out to the Lord, He'll start showing you things. Let's put the next line. How many of you do you want to understand the depth of His love for you? How many of you do? Does anybody, do you want a greater understanding of the depth of God's love? You can ask Him for it. You can say, show me the depth of your love for me. For me. I haven't had that. I don't know that. Let me just go ahead and tell you, when you're broken and it's all about you and your pain, you don't have a lot of love to share. But when you know that you're loved and cherished and thought well of and your worth is restored to you and your value and God just cherishes you, you got something of an overflow. If it's all about you, it's all about your pain. It's all about what happened to you. It's all about your hidden world of, and the seething and the bitter. I don't know. I know all about that. I know. I lived it. I blamed everybody else till the Lord held me and said, hey, God, look, well, we're going to get rid of all that bitterness. We're going to take it out of you. Ready? Yeah. Do you know there's roots that ran down into my toenails? Good night. They were just coming, getting that stuff out of you. It was a heave and a hoe. It was like a Holy Spirit going, you know, have you seen those guys with out in the roads, you know, tearing? He just chops it up. Jesus comes and puts the axe to the root and takes these things out when you want Him to. When you cry out to Him, He'll come and take this stuff out of you. I don't have it anymore. And when I've gone through situations where I'm tempted to be bitter, there's no way I'm going to do it. I don't want to live that life again. What a waste of life. Do you want to grow in an area where your life has been stagnant and stuck? You can say, Lord, show me. Help me. Persist in that. And He will say, you really want to know. Yes, and then He'll highlight to you, begin to take you in a process where He'll take you out of that place of stagnancy and stuckness. Do you want a greater freedom to be more fruitful in Christ for others? I think we all know this. When you're serving other people, you're more blessed. When you see the impact of what God has for other people, it's just great. Okay, have you been praying for salvation of a loved one and become discouraged? See, now look, the Lord loves the person more than you do. So you can say, Lord, give me your love for that person. I'm going to quit moving out of my own human love, and I'm going to tap into you. Can you do that? Tell you what, that's important this season right now. Can we just say that, Father God, let me pray it. Just say, Father God, I just turn my heart over to you to love through me, to empower me to pray by your love, way beyond my own love. I surrender my heart to you. Anoint me afresh with your love to impact those people that are in my life that you want close to you. Let's just worship now. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and say, Lord, because he'll change you. It won't be your burden. It'll be his burden flowing through you, and you'll be articulating beautiful prayers and things that shift and change people because of what he wants to do. Can we just pause here and just thank the Lord for it? Thank you, Lord, for going to the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for carrying our burdens, all of our sorrows, all of our griefs. We praise you, Lord, for taking the weights, the entanglements, the confusions, the rejections, offloading these from our souls. We turn to you. We can't wrestle with it, but you can liberate us from it. And so we offer our hearts to you that you would release us from those things that would entangle us. In the name of Jesus, I just feel stirred to take authority over it right now. In anybody in the room that has had an entanglement of hell wrapped around them, I take authority over it right now. I command it to be gone, be loosed now. In the name of Jesus, you cannot stay. You have to leave. Okay, I'm going to just go with what's in my spirit. Every witchcraft, every harsh word, every broken thing that has been twisted up, I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. Every generational failure that has been a wounding to the soul, in Jesus' name, those things must leave. In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. Be gone. Be gone. You don't want it? Just say, I'm partnering with you, Pastor. I don't want it. In Jesus' name, release it from me, Jesus. Let's praise him now. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's a lightness coming to the room. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is in your heart that you want to bring to the Lord? Here's the point. He already knows. And it's Jesus that desires a more meaningful relationship with you. This next slide. We serve the God who makes all things new. I just feel like going in. You know, the Lord took us to this morning in worship. You can tell the different levels. You know, there was a place of worship in his presence, but there was a touch of glory. There was a touch of glory. You know, darkness just can't stand in the glory. Demons flee from the weight of the presence of the perfect one when he shows up. He's light. He radiates light. Darkness can't handle that. I remember guys working on the building here, and they'd come in, and one guy get up and go in the back, you know, and he'd disappear. And I said, where do you go? He says, it's too bright in there. The light of the Lord's love, he just shut down and have to leave the room. It's like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize. When you love light, it's good. And here's how he does it. He starts from the inside of our lives and works his newness through us to the outside. He starts small within us like a seed. Now, there are moments where there are these power encounters and he starts a little bigger than smaller. But most of the time, he starts like a seed, and we nurture it. And as we nurture his life in us, it grows and pours out of us in the form of generous blessing to others by the way of mercy and grace empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's a partnership of the Lord. Next slide. And then we learn a new language of communication through God's word by the promises he gives and by the examples we follow. He helps us remove what hinders us from the fullness of his love so we can dwell with him fully. And this is my passion. I want to dwell with the Lord. Look, I'm the last guy to feel like I've reached any point of any kind of perfection. I'm not that good at living down here on earth, except for Jesus. How about you? Except for Jesus, I can get there. And what I've come to understand is that he really cares about me more than I thought he did. And he cares about you much more than you've ever imagined. It's so important. So here's where we're going to get to this perpetual. Our Lord is the God of perpetual newness. Let's say that. Our Lord is the God of perpetual newness. What in the world are we talking about? Let's look into the nature of God with four verses. Isaiah 43:19. Let's start there. You ever seen this verse before? A lot. Every time a new season shows up, people prophesy this verse. Isn't that right? I think it's a massive truth. He says, behold, I'm doing a, what kind of thing? A new thing. I'm going to do something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Now watch this. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many of you felt, does anybody remember that show? It was about a turtle. He always got in trouble, something like that. Mr. Wizard, he would always go by and get in trouble and he'd cry out. It was a cartoon. And he would come and he would bring him back. You and I, left to our own devices, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of destruction, or the domain. The domain of darkness is a domain of destruction. The domain of the flesh, of human, your humanness, is the domain of deterioration. It doesn't matter how long you flow in the flesh. It's just going to all deteriorate. But the kingdom of God is the kingdom of redemption, restoration, renewing, redoing, causing things to come and be alive and life-giving. And all there. So there's this perpetual state of giving newness to our spirit. There's a hunger in our hearts for this. And you'll go and you'll try, you know, even Christmas packaging would be all sparkly looking thing. And you go and they got the glossy picture and it looks really good. And you go, I'm going to order that. And you get there and you open up the box. It doesn't look, it's not glossy. It's not all pizzazzed up, you know. It's just, but the Lord doesn't disappoint. He is. He's not just glossy. He's the real deal. Right? Help me out here. I've tried. So no matter what you're going to do, it'll end up as a wilderness. It'll end up you're needing some freshness sometime. But I think this verse is also big in the sense that up to this point, you know, the Savior hadn't come yet. And Jesus and the Lord is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. And what happens is that new thing came in the form of God coming. And it's so much fun. Theo's not here right now, but it's so much fun to have a little grandbaby that's like 6 months old. And he smiles at you, and it just brings a fresh feel to the baby in the manger. Like, you know, it just does something to you at this time. So God's did this new thing. And then in the newness of him coming into your life, into my life, I'm going to go to the next verse, but this one. This one. About three, four Sundays ago, I started pleading with everybody on this verse because this has transformed my life. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Would you say that? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Your mind will decide that it is not happening for you. That's called a bad brain. Okay, watch this. His mercies never come to an end. I get that. If you were never treating yourself mercifully and judged yourself because of the way you were judged, the Lord comes to remove all that. I'm proof of it. Was it 2 years ago? The Lord said in November, erase the line where you believe mercy shuts off in your life. Erase the line. I went, I got a line? I have a line? Yeah, he says, yeah, that stuff that you think you got to deal with without me. That stuff inside of you that you think that is just your stuff to deal with. Erase that line where you shut off my mercy entering your life. I went, oh my gosh. I started thinking, I can't, you already know all that stuff. Oh my gosh. You know how, I thought I had to manage that. He says, yeah, you're not right. You're not right. How long have you been right? You've never been right except when you believe what I say. And the more you believe what I say, that's when you get right. You're just not right. How many of you know, and if you don't do, if you're doing religion your way, you're just wrong. You're just wrong. You condemn yourself. You put yourself in a place of judgment, and you just condemn. You walk around beat up. Do you know most depression comes from people speaking depression all day long, always talking about their anxieties, always talking about their problems. If they would shut up, it would start to leave. Because the power of death is in the tongue, and the power of life is in the tongue. Just go outside and thank God. Change a little bit, right? Those are practical things. But the reality is the Holy Spirit says, my mercies are new. Every what? Every what? They're what? What are they? They're new. They're new. They're new. The mercies are new. They're not yesterday's. There's a fresh chance today. That wasn't there in your mind yesterday. You could blow it yesterday. God goes, it's new today. Perpetual newness. Perpetual. Some of you need to take this as a key and let yourself out of jail. Just go ahead and dangle this. Ding, 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 ding. Look at there, devil. I got a key now. I got a kingdom key. I'm going to go ahead and put it in the cell, and I'm going to let myself out. It's new every morning. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. He gave himself for us that it would be new every morning. You and I need new every morning. Perpetual new mercies every morning. Every morning. Every morning, shackle-breaking mercies every morning. Renewed every morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Can we stop again and just say praise the Lord? Praise. I'm sorry, I said this was going to be a fast message. It's going further because you guys are drinking. You're at the table, go, leave me alone. I'm eating steak here. There we go. You can keep the potatoes. Okay. Romans, let's go to the next one. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the what? In the newness. I looked up the Greek word. Do you know what it is? Newness. It's trying to give you this like other definition. Okay, it's this state. Basically, God's downloading eternal life into you right now. That's in essence. The state that you're in. He says, I'm going to give you the life I'm living in heaven into you on earth. Makes you new, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Because we died in baptism. He raises us up anew. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. Newness of life is yours. Newness. If there's anything you need this Christmas season, it's newness of life. Newness of life. And Revelation 21:5. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I make some of the stuff all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to send Jesus. It's going to be God coming. And we're going to come into your world. I'm going to come and bring new life into you. You're going to learn to walk in the newness of life. You're going to feast off of my mercies every day, every morning. You're going to know that I'm the God of perpetual newness in the realm of mercy upon your life. That I'm faithful all the time. All the time. When you're not faithful, I'm still faithful. When you're blowing it, I'm still putting it together. When you're falling down, I'm still picking you up. I'm the daddy you never had. I'm the caring God that you have never known. And I'm perfect in all my ways, and I love you to pieces. I love you to wholeness. This next slide, God's perpetual newness found its way to us in the birth of the Son of God in Bethlehem. The incarnation means that God became human in the form of Jesus Christ, making him fully human and fully divine. And the word incarnation literally means take on the flesh. So he comes, I'll just put the last slide up, and let's notice this. This is the big shift. You show up before the God, and you're a sinner, and you got nothing. You deserve hell. You can't pull it together. And he goes, your report card has got an F minus on it. I'll tell you what. Jesus took all of your F's, all of your sorrows, all of your sufferings, all of your mistakes. He took them all. He put him on himself, and he became sin for you. He lived perfectly. So what we're going to do is we're going to switch report cards. We're going to take your F minus, and we'll give his A triple plus, and we're going to inject it into your spirit. And now you are going to grow into something you could never do. You're going to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you're going to need a lot of help because you have lived wrong for a long time. So don't get impatient with yourself. Don't judge yourself. Just keep looking to me because I love you more than anybody else does. Other people's opinions and your opinions are pretty much worthless to me because you're my precious daughter, you're my precious son, and I love you, I cherish you, and that's pretty much it, forever and ever and ever. And when that gets inside of you, you're going to change. You're going to actually begin to think differently about yourself because God, who made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become not only rightly related, but right in our attitudes, our words, our actions, the expression of our life. People hang out with you and go, I was with some people recently and they teased each other a lot, and I started injecting different thoughts about building them up, and I started saying that, and it started changing the atmosphere. It's silly to put somebody down, even in teasing. And I realized the gifts that these people had, and I started talking about the true genius that they had. People just can, you know, when somebody's got something really good in them and you identify it, it comes out. When you speak words that edify and build up, it releases those things out of people. Let's go ahead and stand together, because I see the Lord saying a lot of good stuff to us. Would you lift your heads to the Lord? Thank you, Lord. Father God, this season I ask that everything that would be in the way, any oldness, any entanglement of past hurts, past bitternesses, past failures, past losses, past mistreatments, everything like that, I just ask now that it be released like an old cloak, an old dirty overalls or whatever, cloak, anything that's just been a weight of heaviness, that would just come off. Just come off. Just take it off. And I ask that there would come this newness of the beauty of who you are reigning in every heart. The perpetual newness of Jesus. The mercies made new. Say, that's me, Lord. I want that. Say, I want that, Jesus. I want that. Praise you, Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.